Well, we're looking at that passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I'd like to begin by asking us all a question. Would you rather be at a funeral service or a birthday party? Would you rather be at a funeral service or a birthday party? Would you rather be at a feast or a funeral? Which of those is better for us? Solomon, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, in his great wisdom, has told us that just as a good name is of more value than precious ointment, so the day of death is better than the day of birth. You see, expensive ointment or perfume may bring temporary benefit, but it does not last. It is superficial and external. But a good name is of greater significance, for it comes from an inner noble character that is matured over time. Perfume needs to be reapplied each day, doesn't it? For others to appreciate its fragrance. But the effect of a good name stays with a person far, far longer. You see, the benefits of a good name are far greater than smelling good. And so it is with life and death. Life is but a breath compared to our eternity. Life can be filled with fine things, but many of which are just superficial froth. Things which distract us from considering our mortality and our eternity. You see, a funeral will probably cause you and I to think far more seriously about life and about death than any party ever would. Solomon says in verse 2, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. You see, at a funeral service, we are brutally reminded that death is the destiny of us all. The only certain thing in life, the only guaranteed thing that I can say will happen to every single person in this room, is that you will die. But you see, our society doesn't like truths like that. Death is a taboo subject. The elderly, the frail, the sick, the dying are no longer on our streets. They're rarely even in our homes, but shut behind the clinical doors of the hospital ward or the nursing home. We don't like to see reminders, do we, that we are frail, that we are finite, that this life will soon end, and that we will one day die. And yet, take yourself to any third world country and you'll have that in your face so much more. But you know, death is not just for the old. I remember the year that I got married. My wife and I went on honeymoon. Another honeymoon couple were on the beach. The husband went out for a paddle. The sand gave way. He was a non-swimmer, 42 years old, and he died of a heart attack. His wife of a few days returned home without her husband. We get home and read the newspapers, and the road that we took on our journey from home to school, 19-year-old boy driving his car far too fast overturned, killed himself and his passenger. I get a phone call from my head teacher saying, 7-year-old girl that I was due to have in my class that year had heard the call of a friend across the road had run to meet her, knocked over and killed. 42 years old, 19 years old, 6 years old. Death is not just for the old. And Solomon says, this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Are we laying to heart that we will one day die? And are we living in the light of that truth? I recently saw my first dead body. I did something that might seem rather morbid, but which actually I would recommend to each one of you. And that is, I spent a morning with a funeral director. It was part of my training, as it was a pastor, before it was time to sit beside a dying person and take a funeral service, to go and to see the process. And it's shocking, isn't it? To see a person laid there and to think about that person's years, the life that they've had, the things that they've done, their hopes, their dreams, their achievements, but now nothing. Gone. Finished. And it's then that you begin to consider your own life and the lives of those that you love. And you think about the time when you or they will one day be the ones lying there cold. Solomon, famous for his wisdom, tells us that sorrow and mourning is actually good for us. Again, that's a very countercultural message, isn't it? Why do we want to sorrow and mourn? Why do we want to think about these things? Let's just be happy. Let's just be excited. Let's just enjoy the good things of life. Good for you if a doctor detects a tumour. Because the appropriate action can be taken before it's too late. You see, it's the fool that says, I'm just going to fill my mind with nice things. I'm going to do nice things so that hopefully I can forget what the doctor has told me. I can put behind me the fact that I've got this thing that's going to cause me to die. I'm just going to forget about it. That person is the fool. The wise person is the person who lays it to heart, who listens to the warning and says, Doctor, what can be done about this? Solomon says, verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. Laughter and feasting may temporarily give us a feeling of satisfaction, but like everything else we use in life to try and replace God himself, Solomon describes them in verse 6 as crackling thorns under a pot. That imagery kind of eludes us really with our nice electric and gas cookers, but you see, if you're cooking on an open fire and you put some dried thorns there to fuel your fire, what you'll get is an instant burst of flame. And the thorns crackle under the pot. All very exciting as it flares up and you hear the crackling. But just as soon as they flare up, so too they die out and they're gone. And Solomon says laughter and frivolity are just the same as that. They're crackling thorns. Isn't our world full of crackling thorns? You just have to look at one of the most popular television programs on TV. The name eludes me all of a sudden. The X Factor. I've Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent. That's the one. all about entertainment, isn't it? You and I that want to be entertained by nice things. People that want to be the entertainers. People who want their 5 minutes of fame, even if they've got no talent whatsoever. Because it's all about having a laugh, isn't it? It's all about having a good time. It's all about being famous and having wealth and money and success and attention. Solomon was a very wealthy man. Very wealthy. He was a very wise man. And he set his sights on getting satisfaction. Searching for what would bring meaning to his life. He tried it all. He tried accumulating more, working harder, accumulating greater wealth. Just like you and I that spend our hours trying to climb the success ladder. Moving on in our careers. Spending every hour that we possibly can to go up the pay scale. Maybe we can be likened to those hamsters in a cage. Frantically going, but just going round and round in circles. And for what? What does that kind of energy, what does that kind of focus really bring us? Solomon says, chapter 1, verse 4, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. See what he's saying? You come, you go. Generation after generation, doing the same old thing. But the earth remains forever. There is an eternity. And yet we come and go so quickly. He tried studying hard. He tried to gain knowledge, wisdom and understanding. But this was his conclusion. He said, but I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Yes, there's value. Obviously, our young people need to study. It's good for us to learn, to gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But if that's our sole aim, if that's what we think will bring us meaning and satisfaction in life, he says it's like chasing after the wind. You will never actually be able to hold it. Running after it, reaching out to grab it, but just to see it vaporizing in your hand. Then he thought, I use my wealth to gain pleasure. In chapter 2, he said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Isn't that the attitude of the world? I'll spend what I have. I'll spend even what I don't have. I'll borrow from the banks. I'll deny myself nothing my eyes desired.